Terrible, isn't it? Okay, well, I want to talk today on a question which I felt the Lord drop into my spirit as I was preparing. Question's a very simple question. What do you see? What do you see? I think it was provoked a little bit when I was in Riley's, actually, and it was so easy to see an absolute building site, and that could have put us off. But what do we see? What do you see? Many answers, of course. It depends where we're looking and what we're looking at, but it also depends how we look. I remember somebody in the church here, he wanted to do a survey. He wanted to find out how many people were reading the Bible. And he wanted to find out how regularly people were reading the Bible. So I said, well, okay, you better do a survey then, you know. So he did his survey, and he came back very depressed. Because he thought, there's only a third of the people in the church reading the Bible more than two or three times a week. Now, I can understand, but I thought, that's pretty good. That's 70 people who are getting their Bible out two or three times a week or more and reading the Bible. It could have been a whole lot worse. You see, it depends how you see. I'm not saying that that was a good way to set it, but, you know, I thought, well, that's pretty good. There's 70 people there which are reading their Bible without being asked to read it because they want to read it. Depends how we see and how we look. So I've got a big question to ask. How do you see 21st century Britain? It's a big question, isn't it? I want to say, as I've been thinking about it, what I see, and then we'll have another question, which you'll probably guess what that is. So on the surface, I see much to be really grateful for. We are the envy of many people across the world, which is one reason we have such a big immigration problem. So many people want to come here to live. Our standard of living may not be as high as some, but we're still one of the richest countries in the world. Got a good welfare system, good infrastructure, pretty stable government. What else do I see? I see a beautiful green country. If we had the right weather, you wouldn't want to go abroad for holidays. Buildings, beautiful cities, a monarchy, democratically elected government, freedom of speech and religion, law and order. You know, when Jackie says, what are you thankful for? All those things we could be really grateful for in our country. I see supermarkets overflowing with fresh food. When people have come from Africa, or at one time even Eastern Europe, they were amazed at the choice. The number of different cereals you can buy. They're used to having a packet of cornflakes or maybe one other. There's so many. Overflowing with food. I see shopping malls being built all over the country. A passion for football, like not in many other nations. The youth of today, with probably more spare cash than any previous generation. I also see gods of leisure, pleasure and entertainment worshipped like never before, because we can. Got the time and we've got the money. What else do I see when I think of Britain? I see a tolerant society. Becoming so tolerant that anything goes, except for radical New Testament Christianity. It seems that has to be opposed and will continue to be, I expect. But under the surface of that picture I've created of Britain, I see major cracks in 21st century society. A country which based its laws on biblical principles is now turning away from the God of the Bible. In fact, secularism has influenced our nation beyond which most of us realize. A few months ago, I was sent this article by a presenter, Ben Stain. It's an American presenter. And this is what he wrote. This was regarding America at Christmas. This is what he said. I am a Jew, and every single one of my ancestors was Jewish. And it does not bother me even a little bit when people call those beautiful, lit-up, bejeweled trees Christmas trees. I don't feel threatened. I don't feel discriminated against. That's what they are. Christmas trees. It doesn't bother me a bit when people say Merry Christmas. I don't think they're slighting me or getting ready to put me in a ghetto. In fact, I kind of like it. It shows that we are all brothers and sisters celebrating this happy time of year. It doesn't bother me at all that there is a manger scene on display at a key intersection near my beach house in Malibu. If people want a crib, it's just as fine as is the menorah a few hundred yards away. I don't like getting pushed around for being a Jew, and I don't think Christians like getting pushed around for being Christians. I think people who believe in God are sick and tired of getting pushed around, period. I have no idea where the concept came from that America is an explicitly atheist country. I can't find it in the Constitution, and I don't like it being shoved down my throat. Billy Graham's daughter was interviewed on the early show, and Jane Clayson asked her, "How could God let something like this happen?" referring to Hurricane Katrina. Anne Graham gave an extremely profound and insightful response. She said, "I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are. But for years, we've been telling God to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, and to get out of our lives. And being the gentleman he is, I believe he has calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and protection if we demand he leave us alone? In light of recent events, terrorist attacks, school shootings, etc., I think it started when Madeleine Murray O'Hare, she was murdered, her body found a few years ago, complained she didn't want prayer in our schools, and we said, okay. Then someone said, you better not read the Bible in school. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself, and we said, okay. Then Dr. Benjamin Stock said we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave because their little personalities would be warped and we might damage their self-esteem. Dr. Spock's son committed suicide. We said an expert should know what he's talking about, and we said, okay. Now we're asking ourselves, why are our children, why do they have no conscience? Why they don't know right from wrong? Why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers, their classmates, and even themselves? Probably if we think about it long and hard, we can figure it out. I think it has a great deal to do with we reap what we sow. Funny how simple it is for people to trash God and then wonder why the world's going to hell. Funny how we believe what the newspapers say but question what the Bible says. Pass it on if you think it has merit. If not, then just discard it. No one will know you did. But if you discard this thought process, don't sit back and complain about what bad shape the world is in. That was presented on one of the television programs in America. And I thought, it says a lot about this subtle, insidious disease called secularism. Trying to be a society where God doesn't even exist. And then we blame him when things don't go right. Coming back to our country, so what else do I see? Well, I said there's cracks, there's major poverty, there's material poverty, even in our country, emotional poverty, hopelessness, brokenness, heartache, and of course, a spiritual poverty. I see greed, bosses who bring their bank to bankruptcy, walking away with millions in so-called bonuses. For what? Footballers earning over £1 million a month. I see family breakdown. I see families with no fathers, no dads to care, to love, to discipline, and to provide. I see divorce in the church is at the same level as those outside of the church. I see a binge drinking culture amongst our youth unrivaled in Europe. I see Christian values and principles on the slide, leading to a lack of respect for leaders for an older generation. I see immorality is normal. It's okay to live together. In fact, it's strange if you don't. Only a few years ago, we called it living in sin. Sex before marriage is normal. We are the teenage pregnancy capital of Europe. The pornography in the industry in the UK is worth billions per annum. We're told homosexuality is normal, and yet only 2% of our country are that way inclined. It's not normal. Let's be clear, it's abnormal. It's unnatural. It's unbiblical. I see a generation of young people growing up without a future, frustrated, impoverished, uneducated, no training, no jobs, no hope, no dads. We shouldn't be surprised at the unrest we saw last summer. I wouldn't be surprised if we see more. You see, it's very easy, isn't it, for us to be quite complacent in our middle-class ghettos. It all depends what we're looking at and what we see. In Revelation, we read of a church in Laodicea. They thought they were pretty good. The church was based in one of the richest cities of the ancient world, and no doubt the material benefits were felt in the church too. And if you were to ask the church, what do you see? According to Revelation 3:17, they would have replied, we're rich. We have acquired wealth. We don't need anything. But that's not how Jesus saw the church. When he looked at that church in Laodicea, he saw a church which didn't realize that actually they were wretched, pitiful, poor, naked, and blind. What a contrast. What do you see? We need to see as Jesus sees. What a shock. That church thought they were doing pretty good. Jesus thought they'd totally missed their vocation. And he commanded them, repent. And he counseled them to buy eye salve so they could see the real state of the church and presumably the society in which they live too. And so, LifeSpring, I want to ask us, what do we see? To see our country, to see our town with all its natural and material benefits, but we need to see the mess too. Why? Because there's an answer. And most of the answer for us is sitting in front of me. We are part of that answer. First scripture, Ephesians 1:17. I keep asking, says Paul, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And as we know him, we'll begin to see as he sees. And he goes on to say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and his amazing power towards us who believe. What's Paul praying? He's praying that the church will see, that the eyes of their heart will be opened to see the calling which is on their lives. You see, do you remember the story of Gideon? Gideon saw with natural eyes. He saw a young man, a weak man, smallest family, most insignificant family, smallest clan. He saw all the enemies round about, and he thought, there's no hope, there's no way through. But the angel of the Lord came to him and said, you're a mighty warrior. He had to change the way he saw. All the time he saw himself like that, he would never be an answer to the problems of Israel. But when he began to see as God saw him, he rose up in faith. He rose up in belief. He rose up in obedience. And he made a difference. And he routed the enemy from them. It depends how we see. Amen? So you could see the church as an outdated, boring, irrelevant institution which has had its better days. I hope you don't. You could see the church as a bunch of friends who seem pretty okay and they can be nice company. I hope you see more than that. You could see the church as doing a pretty good work among the youth and the poor, and their singing and music can be quite enjoyable. I hope you see more than that. Or you could begin to see the church as Jesus sees it, the hope of the world. A glorious bride, being prepared and made ready for the King of Kings. That's us. That's how he sees us. He doesn't see us as totally outdated, irrelevant, and just waiting for him to come back and take us away. I don't think he's going to do that anyhow. He doesn't see us like that. He sees us as a glorious bride being prepared for the King of Kings. He sees a temple being built, not with hands, but with lives being joined together, and the church across this world and in this town being a temple for him to come and fill with his Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2, I think, end of chapter 2. He sees the church, the ecclesia, if you like the Greek word for it, as a people called out from among the world, called out from its system and culture, living totally different, separate from the world, in it but not of it, standing out, different values, different language, different lifestyle. Hallelujah. A light shining in darkness. That's how Jesus sees the church of Jesus Christ. He says, you're a city set on a hill. He said, you are the light of the world. Let's not reduce our understanding, our perception, what we see about the church of Jesus Christ. Let's not be critical. Let's not point the finger. Let's not criticize. This is God's people, which he is growing and developing and maturing in this earth to be a light shining in darkness for him. Hallelujah. He sees the church as the family of God. He's our Father. We're brothers and sisters together. This is God's family. He wants the biggest family the world has ever seen to populate heaven, which is going to come and fill earth. Hallelujah. With him in the midst of it all. That's what Jesus sees. It's a glorious church he has in mind. Can you see this too? Have a look at the state of the world. It's a mess, absolute mess. It's waiting for us. It's waiting for us. Bill Johnson says, who's responsible? Who did the Lord leave in charge? Yeah, if you moan about the state of the world, who's responsible? Church of Jesus Christ. We need to rise up. We need to see that God has called us and given us something to give and to play. He's called us. He's chosen us. He's anointed us to bear much fruit, to make a difference, to bring in a kingdom which you can't see, but it changes everything. To bring in a kingdom of power, to bring in a supernatural dimension of righteousness, of peace, of joy in the Holy Spirit. How can I be joyful? I'm about to lose my job because God's in you. And in his presence is the fullness of joy. How can I be at peace when I don't know what my pension's going to look like? Because God's in you. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's a peace that surpasses understanding. That's the people of God. That's the blessing which we have been given. We sang, you're good. You're good. All good things come from him. And he wants to give them to the people of God, that we might give them to the world which is lost and needs to see and needs to hear. Jesus says, don't hide this light under a bushel. Let everybody see. Let everybody see, because it's his life and it's his light. Hallelujah. Are you despondent about the world? Are you worried about recession? Are you wondering how things are going to work out? You might be, but my hope isn't on the world. It's not on my pension. I haven't got much of one. It's not on the government. It's on him. It's on him. He's calling us. He's calling us. He's chosen us. He knew from the beginning of the world what it was going to be like now. And he thought, life's bringing the people I need there at this time to make a difference for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. 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 We've been called to be good news. I was telling somebody the other day, they were misquoting me. They said, but Neville thinks it's all about just preaching the gospel and making disciples. I said, no. That might be evangelism. Mission is us being good news as well as proclaiming good news. It's showing love. It's expressing the love of Jesus. It's feeding the poor. But I did point out, Jesus didn't die that the poor can have a full stomach. He didn't die that the poor can just have another coat to put on. He died that they might be saved from poverty and have eternal life. That's the bigger picture. It's the whole thing included. It's not one or the other. Our mission is to be good news and is to proclaim good news. We've been called to disciple, to teach, to train, so that we all become more like Jesus in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in the pubs, in our colleges, wherever we might be, his presence, his aroma, making a difference. It'll only make a difference if he's in here. And he wants to come and overflow us so that his difference flows out and others catch hold of his heart and his love. Amen. Now, I know we need more. We need more of his love. We need more of his power. You know, when John said what John said about sickness being defeated, I absolutely believe it with all my heart. And yet there's people who are sick who will leave here still sick. I don't know why. I want to pray again because it's not part of the kingdom of God. We need more power. We need more love. We need more anointing. But unlike the church at Laodicea, I don't think we've got all that I don't think we're satisfied and we don't need any more. I recognize we need him. We need the Spirit of God to be outpoured among us. Hallelujah. Can you see? Can you see he's called you to make a difference? He's called you. Yeah, nice spring, but you. To make a difference. My mum came up the other day for prayer. Somebody prayed for her, and she was still standing there. I said, "Mum, have you been prayed for?" "Yes," she said. But they didn't ask me what I wanted prayer for. And what I wanted prayer for was to be able to tell my neighbours about Jesus, because I haven't told them yet. My mum's in her 80s. She still wants more. She still wants to make a difference. That spirit, that heart needs to be in all of us, that we make a difference for him everywhere we go. I'm running out of time. Sorry, Kim. 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Who blinds us? Who prevents us from seeing? Satan. The God of this age. Unbelievers can't see this glorious truth. Thank God he's opened our eyes to see. But do you know what? I think he also blinds believers to see this glorious truth that he's called us to play a part with him. Some of us just think we've been saved to go to heaven. I mean, I can't wait to get to heaven in one sense, although I'm quite enjoying my life down here. But it's so much more. I mean, it can't be more, can it? I mean, that's going to be billions of years with him. But it's now too. It's eternal life now. It's kingdom now. It's God coming now. Heaven comes down here eventually anyhow. Yeah, it's all down here. It's now. God wants us to impact. He wants us to make a difference. And we need to have our eyes to see. The children of Israel, they had an opportunity. God took them out of Egypt, if you like, a picture of our salvation. And his plan and his purpose was to take hold of this amazing land, full of fruit, full of beauty, fruitfulness in abundance. They had an opportunity, and they got to the borders within 10 or so days. They got to the borders, and they sent 12 spies in, and they said, "Check it out, have a look." And they all agreed, this is absolutely an amazing land. Picture, if you like, of God's inheritance for us. Picture of what God wants us to enjoy and experience. They said, this is totally amazing. But 10 of them said, but there's giants. It's going to be too hard. We're not going to be able to conquer. I know God wants it, but he's got the wrong people here. We couldn't take it. 2 of them said, if that's his plan, he's for us. We'll do it. But you see, they didn't listen to the 2. And for 40 years, a whole generation of tens, hundreds of thousands of people died without ever completing that call, which was on their lives, to go and take that land. They just couldn't see it. The enemy blinded their eyes. They thought, there's no way we can do it. We're going to be overwhelmed. But God said you could. And they couldn't see. Church, I don't want us to miss it. God's got a plan for you, for me, for us. It's bigger than we can even imagine. Let's say yes, Lord. Yeah, I know there's giants. I know there's obstacles. I know there's this. I know there's that. But his plan, his purpose can well overcome all of the stuff which can be an obstacle to us. So life spring, it's time for us to arise. It's time for us to believe that we can make a difference. It's time for us to realize we've been chosen. Many are lost and need saving and delivering. They're waiting for you to say, yes, Lord, count me in. Many families are struggling with divorce and marriage pressures and bringing up children and debt. They're just waiting for the church to say, yes, I'll play my part. I can help you make a difference. Many have come from different countries and they need help. There's prostitutes on the streets. They need to sell their bodies to pay for their addictions. There's addicts with no hope, homeless, the lonely, the hungry, the cold. They're waiting for the church to say, yes, I'm part of the answer. It's not the welfare state. They've run out of money anyhow. It's us. It's the people of God. We have been called to be part of the answer, church. Can we say yes? Can we see this is beyond just getting a nice income and a salary? Can we say it's beyond just having a nicer house all the time? I mean, God wants to bless us and pour all the wonderful things out as well. But it's so much more than that. There's a much grander, important purpose. Hallelujah. I want to close with a little picture. What do you see? I'll tell you what I see. I see LifeSpring having multiple services in the pavilion on the corner of Russell Street and Oxford Road. A church of 1,000 and growing. Cells meeting across Reading and beyond. I see people praising exuberantly. A powerful word is spoken and scores rushing to the front to get right with God. Week by week, weeping, crying loudly, feeling conviction, and finding so much joy of knowing their sins forgiven. I see people queuing to get in, waiting for the earlier service to finish. I see families and young people congregating on the steps, spilling out with drinks in their hands, chatting and laughing. I see cells meeting after the meetings in various areas and rooms. I see students bussed in from the university and challenged by what they see and hear. They keep bringing more friends. I see parenting classes, toddler groups, holiday clubs, marriage encounters, new believers encounters, schools of leaders happening week by week, month by month. I see the poor being fed. The gospel being shared, the prostitute and the homeless person befriended. Every Friday and Saturday night, LifeSpring is in town, meeting, chatting, befriending. I see worship concerts with Martin Smith, with Drickus, with Soulfire, Jesus Culture, Simon Jeffries, Rob Eisner. I see John and Sue and Matt and Viv leading worship and attracting the presence of God and his glory filling the place. Hallelujah. I see Reading conferences. I see G12 conferences. I see youth conferences. I see leaders' conventions. People coming to Reading to see what's all this about. I see Joel speaking. Yinka, Bill Johnson, Pastor Caesar, Leonard and Carolina. I can even see Chris and Lynn sharing the platform. I see James. I see James speaking to hundreds of young people, Craig and SFL producing light and sound, even the world would be proud of. I see our 12s leading and speaking every week too. Powerful prayer, extravagant worship, generous giving. Why? Because we began to see. Our eyes have been opened. We've realized afresh, it's us. It's the church, which really is the hope of the world. For Reading and beyond. Because we carry his treasure, his anointing, his gospel. I see us getting in trouble from time to time. We're not compromising the truth. Some get upset, especially the politically correct brigade, with our biblical stance. We're too radical, too uncompromising. But the ex-alcoholic, the young person who's now found a job, the ex-homeless person, the businessman who is now happily married again, they rally to our defense because they are a testimony to the love, truth, and power of God shown through LifeSpring Church. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Yes. Just like in New Testament days, houses and land were sold by the church members to help finance the work of God. And it's already started. Miracles of provision, releasing more finance. Those with little give their little, and it counts so much when invested in the kingdom of God. Those with much bring their much because they can. And Jesus says much is required. And their much makes such a difference in the kingdom of God. It's what I see, LifeSpring. is church being the answer. Can you see it too? Can you see it too? Isn't this a vision worth going for? Isn't this a vision worth giving into? Isn't this a vision worth laying down your life for? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's called you and me to play our part. Now, we've had one scripture. There's a few more coming up behind me, but I'll just read the first and the last one. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord rises upon you. Let's receive him. John, can we have some music, and we'll have that song in a moment or two. I just want to read, well, you can see the others, but I just want to close with the last one. Ephesians 3, verse 21. To him, to Jesus, to God, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. The church is here to bring him glory. A building doesn't bring glory, but it can do. But more importantly, it's lives laid down, doing the will of God, submitted, surrendered, bringing everything we can, saying, here we are, Lord, use us. Because we're beginning to see. We're beginning to see. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Going to sing a song we all know. But listen to the words. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. What do you see, church? What do you see? He wants us to open our eyes to see. The treasure is in you. The glory is in you. The plans and purposes of God are in you to make a difference in this town. His love, his compassion, his mercy and his grace, it's in the church to make a difference wherever we go. Can I just pray? And if people want more prayer, you come up during the song. Let's stand together. Just like us to pray that the Lord will help us to see. Lord, it would be totally amazing grace. Not just, Lord, that we've been saved to go to heaven. In some ways, it's even more amazing that we've been saved to be part of your plans on earth. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you want to touch our hearts afresh today. And you want to open our eyes afresh to see that whatever we are working through and whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, there is still enough of you to give away to others to make a difference. And I want to pray, Lord, that you will help us see and help us recommit our lives to you and your purposes. To be part of that glorious people of God, the city set on a hill. Holy Spirit, will you come among us now? I ask. And open our eyes. And touch our hearts afresh. Give us your love. Give us your life. For each other, for you, but for a world that is perishing too. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, John.